Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
This is Tom Hartman,
where smart people get their news.
Now, here's Tom Hartman.
And greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Oh, it's great to be back from Denmark, from Europe, where even the conservatives, even the most vitriolic right-wingers, which is mostly about the immigration issue in Denmark, believe that having free college education for everybody is an investment. You pay a dollar in, you get $10 back in tax revenues over the lifetime of the person. That free health care for everybody is an investment. That free... it just goes on and on. You heard the whole show last week. In any case, it's great to be back. And a special tip of the hat to our new listeners in Dallas and in Atlanta. I'll be giving you more information about that as the show goes on. Two new stations coming online today on July 1st, and we're very pleased to be on both. Right now, Dinesh D'Souza is with us, author and speaker. He writes a daily blog for AOL.com, weekly column for townhall.com, former policy analyst in the Reagan White House, John M. Olin Fellow at the American Enterprise Institute. He works at the Hoover Institution at Stanford University. His most recent books, What's So Great About America, What's So Great About Christianity, The Enemy at Home. Dinesh, welcome to the show.
Hey, good to be back.
Good to have you with us. Oh, by the way, I should mention your website, DineshDeSouza.com, DineshDSouza.com is your website. You have a post here, Monday, June 30th, your latest piece for townhall.com, that, in my opinion, steps over a line that I've been unwilling to step over up to this point. And I don't want to say because you did it first, I'm going to, but it seems that broadly speaking, my response to you has to be the response, at least of people who are interested on this side. Your pitch, first of all, you say Michelle Obama is the force behind Barack Obama's refusal to embrace traditional patriotic symbols. First of all, what?
Well, look, here's the interesting thing with Obama. His speeches are amazingly, he conveys an aura of patriotism, love of America, traditional values, and so on.
Because he's patriotic, he loves America, and he was raised in traditional values.
I don't doubt it. But then you've got these...
Then why do you attack his wife?
Well, you've got these little anomalies, okay? And that is, his wife says, hey, I'm proud of America for the first time. Barack says...
She did not say that she was proud of America for the first time. She said she was really proud of America for the first time, and she made it very clear, if you listen to the speech and afterwards, that the context of it was that she was proud of how engaged Americans are in the political process.
Right, but for the
first time, really is the first time in her life. The last time young people were that engaged in the political process was in the 1960s, the election of Jack Kennedy, and she was just a little tiny child at the time.
Right, but look, we can argue about this, but the point I'm trying to make is you've got a relatively unknown figure, Obama, coming on the scene, and you've got some anomalies. You've got the Reverend Wright in the background. Well, you have to agree the Reverend Wright's rhetoric is quite inconsistent with the kind of pro-American pitch of Obama.
His occasional out-of-context rhetoric, but that's nothing compared
to
Hagee's. Let's have a war in the Middle East and so that all the Jews can either convert to Christianity or die. I mean, that's what the advisors of McCain are saying. But here's my question for you, Dinesh D'Souza. If you're going to write a piece titled Michelle Obama's Inferiority Complex, and you're going to say stuff like she was granted affirmative action, well, by the way, so was Colin Powell and so was Condoleezza Rice, you're going to attack the grammar of her master's thesis, et cetera, you're going to attack his wife, then isn't it time for people on my side to say, Cindy McCain stole narcotics? She stole narcotics from her own damn charity. She did it for years. Her husband knew about it and covered it up and lied about it. She committed felonies. Her husband committed felonies. There has never been any accountability of this. In fact, nobody's even talking about it because there's a general consensus that one doesn't attack the spouse of a politician.
Well, but I don't think there is such a consensus. And I think that if what you say is true, it's something that should be reported. Look, we've had...
It has been reported. You know, Phoenix News Times did back, you know, this is back 1994, September 8, 1994, did a 14-page story about it in great detail. Not just all of the times that she was stealing drugs, she was using drugs, she was overdosing on drugs. We're talking serious narcotics here, but also that she got the guy who was the director of her own charity because she set the thing up and she helped fund it and she was theoretically the boss of the guy who was the boss to cover up for her.
Well, I'll leave it for you to open up on her. But the point I want to make about Michelle Obama, she gives speeches where she basically talks about how she and others have had to work harder because they have to be better than everybody else to get ahead. And the point I wanted to make, she says things like, everyone told me you're not good enough to go to Princeton, but when I got there, I found out I was better than everybody else, and so on. So what I'm getting at is, it's not unreasonable when you consider that first ladies have a lot
I'm
of influence.
I'm better than everybody else.
Look at
here is what she said. She said, all my life I have confronted people who have a certain expectation of me. Every
right.
step of the way, there's been people telling me what I couldn't do. When I applied to Princeton, they said, you can't go there. Your test scores aren't high enough. That's not saying I was better than everybody else.
No. But she goes on to say that when she got there, she discovered that this was all a myth, but actually she was better. So the point I'm trying to make is it's not unreasonable. Look, we've had Eleanor Roosevelt. We've had Hillary Clinton. First ladies can have a lot of influence. And clearly, Michelle Obama is not someone who's staying in the background. She's out in front. She is a team with Barack. So it's not unreasonable to say, well, where's this woman coming from? What's her background?
And I think where this woman is coming from is she's coming from the experience of growing up African American in a country that for 400 years treated African Americans as animals and slaves, and only in her generation fully enfranchised them.
Right, but what you get with the Obamas is when Obama's campaigning one time, he'll say, I've got traditional, Midwestern values. Then somewhere else he goes, well, I've lived in Hawaii, I've lived in Indonesia, I've had Muslims in my background. I'm a really international guy. So what I'm saying is here's an...
When has he said he's had Muslims in his background?
What?
Come on, hey, stop perpetuating this.
No, look, I'm the last person to accuse him of being a sort of a, some kind of an Islamic radical. In fact, I've been critical of the sort of, you might say, liberation theology within Christianity that I think Obama espouses. But I'm not one of these guys who's peddling
that.
I'm simply saying that at one point he's
Dinesh, let's talk. You're saying essentially that Michelle Obama and Barack Obama are not patriotic. Let's talk about true patriotism. Patriotism. You've got
patriotic. I'm simply saying that they have embraced a kind of racial ideology which they're now trying to camouflage because it's politically unacceptable.
You've got John McCain, who's one of his big proponents out there, Carly Fiorina, who was leading Hewlett Packard. That company stashed $14 billion overseas just in 2004, reducing their tax rate from 35 to 12%. There's no shortage of companies that have done this, that are doing this. I mean, hundreds of billions of dollars that are being stashed overseas. You've got John McCain totally lobby, all these lobbyists and whatnot working with. He's going down to Colombia for the Colombia Free Trade Deal, and he's got all these lobbyists who've worked on his campaign who have made millions of dollars working for the Colombia junta that murders people. How can you talk about patriotism when John McCain is embracing companies and people who are moving American jobs overseas, who are refusing to pay U.S. taxes, who I would say are not just anti-patriotic, but at least economically traitors to the United States, and instead you're sitting around talking about, well, Michelle Obama 30 years ago in her master's thesis didn't use good English. Give me a break.
So look, here you are. You're making all these accusations about McCain. You think that those are completely, Cindy McCain, and you think that those are perfectly okay. But
no, I said anytime somebody says to me that Michelle Obama is, anytime anybody wants to attack Michelle Obama, I'm going to say one sentence, Cindy McCain stole drugs from her own charity.
And But look, but what I'm saying is, well, all I did in my post is I quoted a paragraph from Michelle Obama's thesis, which has grammatical errors, illiteracy.
So you don't.
The nouns don't agree with the verbs. What it shows is this is a clear case of someone who, far from being oppressed, has actually gotten a leg up, and then throughout her
God
career.
God bless her. God bless her. But what does that have to do with the fact that John McCain is surrounded with people who are stealing from America, and you're not calling them out as anti-patriotic?
Maybe I'll post on McCain another time, but the point I'm making is Ellis Coast, the Newsweek writer, had a book a few years ago called The Rage of the Privileged Class, and he talked about the peculiarity that many successful middle-class African-Americans who have actually gotten a leg up throughout their education and their careers have nevertheless developed this peculiar anger at the society that's given him that.
How about the successful guys who marry beer heiresses worth $100 million and then surround themselves with lobbyists who make millions of dollars supporting a murderous regime in Colombia, flying down to Colombia to support those guys in busting unions and offshoring U.S. profits? That's not equally treasonous?
Well,
or anti-patriotic?
I think we should scrutinize both the candidates. I don't know what you're talking about exactly, but I think it should be looked at.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll leave it at that. Dinesh D'Souza, DineshD'Souza.com is website. Dinesh, always interesting talking with you. Thanks for dropping
by. Thanks for having me
on. 16 minutes past the hour.
The Tom Hartman Program.
Helping you win the water cooler wars.
This is Tom Hartman.
Past the hour. Hey, it's the day they've been waiting for in Dallas and Atlanta. Welcome to Rational Radio, AM 1360 in Dallas and Green AM 1640 in Atlanta. To our friends in both cities, we're so pleased to be on your stations. We're so pleased to be live on your stations. And to our new listeners, our telephone number, today is July 1st. We are doing a live show today. And tomorrow, Mark Maron will be filling in for me. And then Thursday and Friday, the 4th of July weekend, we'll be filling best of shows. So even if you hear the phone number on those days, those will be best of shows. But nonetheless, I'm here, and it's live, and we're live. And our phone number, toll-free all across the United States, which includes Atlanta and Dallas, is 866-303-2270, 866-303-2270. Let me just say this about that. I've known about Cindy McCain's addiction to drugs forever. I mean, it's been no secret. This was in the early 1990s this came out. And I have never, since John McCain first entered the race, never mentioned it on this radio program. And I don't intend to mention it again. I want to say, and I said this, I prefaced my comments to Dinesh by saying this. I think it's out of line. I think it's over the line. I think it's inappropriate to be attacking the spouse of a political leader. It's like going after Laura Bush because she sold pot when she was in college. Big deal. And if anything, I want to say I have nothing but empathy for Cindy McCain. Being addicted to prescription drugs and being so badly addicted that you have to steal them from your own. She had to have been going through hell. Absolute hell. Now, all of that said, anytime a right winger comes into any venue and starts attacking the wife of the Democratic candidate, Barack Obama, I think the answer, frankly, and you can tell me if you think I'm wrong on this. As I said, I don't think that it should ever be said gratuitously. I don't think it should ever be said in any other context. But I think the answer needs to be, oh, you want to talk about the wife of the presidential candidates? Cindy McCain stole pills from a medical aid charity that she headed up. She used the names of unsuspecting employees to get prescriptions and broke the law and never had to pay a penalty for it. Period. And just let them sputter about Michelle Obama. That's, you know, the beginning and end of what I want to say about that. I think the larger issue about patriotism, is, do you believe in this country? If you believe in this country, if you really love this country, then why, Accenture, have you relocated to Bermuda to save over a huge amounts of taxes with over $1 billion in total federal contracts? Why has Carnival Corporation made the statement in their 10-K forms, quote, we believe that substantially all of our income, with the exception of U.S. source income from transportation, hotel, and tour business, is exempt from U.S. federal income taxes. Why? Reincorporated in Panama. Cooper Industries of Houston, reincorporated in Bermuda. They're saving $55 million a year. They got 63 contracts with the Navy, with the Department of Interior and the Department of Defense. Ingersoll Rand. You think this is a good company, right? American company based in Woodcliff Lake, New Jersey. Actually, for corporate purposes, they do business out of a mail, out of a post box in Bermuda. They're saving $40 million a year in taxes. They have 271 contracts with the Navy, the Army, the Defense Department. How about Tyco International? They save $400 million just in 2001 alone. They have over $1 billion in U.S. federal contracts with the Bush administration, but they incorporated in Bermuda, so they're not paying much in U.S. taxes. Or the Halliburton subsidiaries, who are now in offshore tax havens, not paying U.S. taxes on all the money that we're giving them. AOC Services, based in Jersey, the Isle, the British Island. Avalon Financial Services in the Cayman Islands. These are all divisions of Halliburton. Baryard Caribbean in Jersey. Brown and Root in the Caymans. Brown and Root International in Panama. Caspian Transco in the Caymans. Dresser Industries in Liechtenstein. Dresser Investments in the Netherlands. CI Limited in the Cayman Islands. The list goes on for two pages. These are just the divisions of Halliburton that have incorporated offshore so they don't have to pay taxes in the United States. And Dick Cheney and this administration and the Republicans who are supporting this, and John McCain and all his lobbyist buddies who are lobbied up to their eyeballs, dare to call themselves patriots? Dare to call themselves patriots? How can you be patriotic and not support your nation's essential infrastructure? How can you say that you're a patriot and then say, oh, no, we've got to cut taxes for millionaires and billionaires, so if a bridge falls down in Minneapolis, well, big deal. You know, yeah, it's our infrastructure is so crumbling because 30 years of Reaganism, 30 years of...
So, all those clowns...
Oops, sorry, wrong button.
I've always felt the 9 most terrifying words in the English language are... I'm from the government, and I'm here to help.
30 years of that insane mentality has led to a dramatic drop from 71% down to now 15% is the maximum income tax millionaires and billionaires pay if they make their living sitting on their butt around the pool waiting for the dividend checks to arrive. A dramatic cut in taxes for millionaires and billionaires. A doubling of the taxes on average working people since Reagan came in. More than a doubling on the taxes of average working people since Reagan came into office. And who's not paying taxes now? Corporations. Corporations are not paying taxes. In 1952, they paid 32% of the tax load. Today, 7%. 866-303-2270.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Call Tom at 866-303-2270.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program, brought to you by you, our listeners, supporting our sponsors, particularly our sponsors on our local stations. And by the way, if you hear a sponsor and you think, hey, you know, I don't like that company, or I'm not going to, I don't, why is that company? Find other companies that should be advertising with them and say, hey, did you know that you got a local progressive station? You got a lot of, you know, good upscale listeners who want to listen to them. Anyhow, get them out there, get them advertising, and support the folks who are advertising that you can support. And in most cases, that's the vast majority of them. And I'd like to mention our program, the Tom Hartman Program, brought to you in part by the Teamsters, another group worthy of support, fighting to stop the unfair trade deal with Colombia, where John McCain just happens to be right now, sucking up to the legal terroristas. I've spent a lot of time in Bogota and down in the Medellin Valley. I wrote about it in a book of mine called The Prophet's Way. I have a real problem with John McCain being down in Colombia right now, where they murder trade unionists. Anyhow, you can find out more about that at Teamster.org. Teamster singular. 1-866-303-2270, our number. Ron in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, listening to WPTT. Hey, Ron, what's up?
Hey, Tom. It's a pleasure to talk to you. Three quick things. As I was listening to your discussion about the companies that have taken things offshore, I recall that a few years ago, I think Stanley Tools up in Connecticut did the same thing, and I wrote them a quick note, email, and said, you know, I find this distasteful, and they sent me back sort of a smug response saying, well, we're really doing it just to help our shareholders and take a flying leap.
Yeah.
one other question as regards that. If corporations